Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Saw a lot of outrage from the national baseball media last night. How dare the Colorado Rockies pin the blame on their pathetic record on manager Bud Black when everybody knows it's the owner, Dick Monfort, and his lack of investment in the team that is truly at fault. Welcome back. It is Ben and Paul here with you on a Monday morning. Woodsy, get well. Hopefully be back tomorrow morning. Yes, cluster headaches are the culprit, at least according to Woods' early morning text today. So hopefully he's resting and feeling a little bit better somewhere in a dark room or taking some ibuprofen or whatever he needs to get better. So I don't know how you feel about it, Paulie. I mean, I certainly agree. You know, it's not Bud Black's fault that the Rockies are 7-33 or whatever their record is now after 40 games this season. But I'm not going to get overly worked up about Bud Black getting fired for two reasons. First of all, yes, this season is not on him, and probably the last few years are certainly much more on ownership than Bud Black, but anytime a manager has seven consecutive years in which the team is, you know, 20 to 30 games under 500, what is a ball club going to do other than eventually make a change in manager? No matter how well Bud Black is liked, and he is well liked around baseball. I like Bud Black a lot, but you know, at some point you're going to just make that change. It's inevitable. Secondly, and the reason why I'm really not upset this morning. It was a gift for Bud Black. It's an absolute gift to be absolved.
You're free, buddy.
Of the responsibility of having to go through the final 122 games of this season, knowing you have no hope of even climbing into fourth place. There, you have zero hope of anything other than a dead last place finish. You are a minor league ball club developing players. You are a AAA team playing against major league competition every single day. And that's all that was facing Buddy for the last 5 months of this baseball season. He was given a gift by the management of the Colorado Rockies to let him come home, play some golf, listen to Ben and Woods in the morning, his favorite radio program, and decide what he wants to now do with the rest of his career. Retirement? Does he want to get into a front office?
Does he want to get into morning radio?
Absolutely. We could use a co-host right now.
Buddy, come on in, man.
Ben and Paul and Bud in the mornings on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I don't expect him to make any decisions right away. I saw a lot of suggestions. Hey, Padres should snatch him up. He's back home, just like they did with Scott Service. Get more good baseball people into the organization. And it's possible that at some point, Buddy may, you know, become a special assistant, or, you know, he's done that before. He's worked in front offices before he was manager. Good guy. Buddy's going to be fine. Or, you know, Buddy will play golf at Rancho Santa Fe Farms and enjoy his retirement going forward. I'm sure He's made enough money in his career. He's put it, invested it well, put it away in the bank. If he doesn't want to work anymore, he doesn't have to. If he wants to be in baseball, there are dozens of teams that would be happy to find a role for Bud Black going forward.
Yeah, I don't think he'll have any trouble with that if he wants to do that. I always think it's a little bit funny when somebody gets fired after a win. Like, we had just saw that recently, and we saw it again with Bud Black. Like, I tend to think that decision was made before yesterday's game.
You think?
I'm thinking Bud Black even knew. I'm thinking the players even might have known, hey, guys, last hurrah here. Let's go get them.
Let's send them out a winner. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't think that in their other 39 games this season that they could have done that. But
and I saw people saying, like, oh, you know, the team quit on him already. Like, he had to make the change. And I don't know if that's the case. I just don't think that they're a team that really has any business competing with the majority of Major League Baseball.
They're not good enough to quit on anybody. I mean, it's just they're so far behind the rest of baseball when it comes to talent.
But ultimately, like, Dick Manfart, he's got to fire somebody, and he's not going to fire himself, even though he probably should. I mean, I asked the question on the roundtable and I last week, and I didn't end up doing any homework and finding an answer to it, but when did Dick Manfart by the Rockies, and have they ever been even remotely competitive under his tenure as owner? Because I don't think so, unless he's been the owner the whole time. And we're going to give him credit for the mid-2000s teams.
Yeah, I think, let's see. I'm not sure exactly when he bought the team, but it's certainly been a downward spiral under the vast majority of his ownership. You know, when Bud was hired, got to the playoffs his first 2 years, lost a wild card game the first year, lost in the divisional series the next year. And they have not even, you know, sniffed even a wild card since then. It's been fourth and fifth place finishes every single year since 2018 for the Colorado Rockies. I mean, there was absolutely no manager on earth. I think Dave Roberts said Casey Stengel could not manage that team to, you know, a 500 record at this point. They've also been battered by injuries as well, you know, losing. Even the guys they did invest in, like Chris Bryant, have been utter failures, unfortunately, due to health concerns. So they had no hope. They never had any hope. And Bud has been absolved now going forward. And if I'm Buddy Black, I am silently going, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Did you see how depressed? I mean, Buddy's a positive guy. He's just that stoic, stone-faced pain that you saw on Friday and Saturday in the dugout at Coors Field. I felt for him. I really did.
Yeah.
He deserves better than that team. He really does. And you could just see how looking ahead, I can imagine him going, oh, we've got 4.5 more months of this. I don't know that I'm going to survive it. And now he will. And I do believe he was given a gift.
We've seen it all here in San Diego. We've seen first-year managers like Andy Green and Jace Tingler. We've seen veterans like Bob Melvin have a little bit of success and then completely lose everything, and they have to move on. And now we've settled with Mike Schilt, who I think is absolutely the right guy for the right job. But sometimes it happens where you're put in an unwinnable situation like I think Andy Green was. I don't think Andy Green was ever going to see a team that fully, like, they had a plan, and it wasn't just a one-year plan. Like, this was all set to be in motion over the course of 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and now we're seeing the fruits. But you knew Andy Green wasn't going to be there. Jace Tingler, like, he was a rookie manager given a pretty good team, and he just wasn't ready.
Yeah, I agree with you with Andy Green.
Bud Black's not that guy.
Andy Green never had a hope, never had a chance. Jace Tingler did. Jace Tingler had an opportunity to be successful, and they realized, I don't think he's the right guy or not quite ready for this job
yet. I'm comparing Buddy Black and, like, Jace Tingler, where in one situation, in Tingler's case, you're like, you may be a great manager somewhere down the road. It's just not going to happen right now with this team. You're not the right guy. You're not ready. Bud Black is a seasoned, successful manager. Like, he is, anybody in baseball will tell you, he knows what he's doing. This was not on Bud Black.
I'm curious if Bud Black was never really given a good team. He was given
When did he take it, like 17, 18?
So he took the Padres to a couple of playoff appearances, you know, in the...
But with the Rockies.
He started in 17, right after the Padres lost to the Rockies in that Matt Holliday didn't touch home plate game. That was his last game as Padres manager. And then in 17, he went to the Rockies. Yeah. And then Andy Green came to the
right
Padres.
Away with the Rockies, and then after
couple
that,
of years, yeah. But, you know, other than a couple of decent Padres teams and decent, okay Rockies teams, he was never really given a championship contender to manage. And I'm curious what it would look like if Bud was actually given a team that was a championship contender. But I don't know. Will he get another opportunity to manage? Does he even want another opportunity to manage? Maybe, maybe not. That'll probably be some deep thoughts that Bud Black has this summer about what he wants his future to look like.
I bet he ends up with the Texas Rangers in their front office.
Of course, as they all do.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Bochy's like, give him another senior special advisor role.
They'll find a place for him in the Texas Rangers organization. So, again, not going to be sad for Buddy. I'm actually going to be happy for Bud Black today. And look,
he made it a lot longer than a lot of managers that... Like the Jace Tinglers.
Yeah. That's right. 2007 was Matt Holliday, not 2017.
That didn't sound right.
Yeah. I was a decade earlier.
I think I was a little bit before that.
And then he took over the Padres managing job the next year. I knew it was 1 year off of Matt Holliday. That's when he got the job after that. Good point. Good catch on Ben there. Otherwise, Padres did make a couple of other moves over the weekend. On Friday, Connor Joe was traded to the Cincinnati Reds for a right-handed pitcher from the minor leagues named Andrew Moore and cash considerations. I think this was just a sign that Connor Joe was not viewed as having any spot on the San Diego Padres in the future. And if you could unload even his $1 million salary and get something for him, that made more sense for the Padres than just having him stuck in the minor leagues, and it's good for Connor Joe, who may have
an opportunity
with the Reds that it looked like he wasn't going to get with the San Diego Padres. Why it didn't work out with the Padres, I don't really know the answer to that question.
I don't know that it was ever really a good fit. I think there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract. We say that all the time. The one-year, $1 million veteran offer, you throw it out there and see what sticks, but... I don't even know if he would have gotten a couple of hits as a Padre that he still wouldn't have eventually been traded. I just think they're looking long term throughout the rest of the season, and they just didn't determine that there was much of a spot for him.
It's a good point. I was excited when I saw him in spring training. I thought that maybe a guy who could get on base the way that Connor Joe has, draw some walks, might be an upgrade in left field. I mean, the Padres still have an issue in left field. With Jason Hayward, and we'll talk about that. I mean, he did get the 3-run home run, but ultimately the at-bats just don't look that competitive from Jason Hayward right now. I love his leadership. He's played some good defense. Obviously had a misplay yesterday that cost the Padres a couple of runs. I don't think that was a difference in the game. In fact, I don't blame him for trying to be aggressive there. You're trying to keep the game within reach at that point and make a spectacular play, but his at-bats just haven't looked good enough. So the Padres need a left fielder. And if they knew that Connor Joe wasn't the solution, well, then he wasn't the solution. They need to look somewhere else, and it wasn't Connor Joe.
Yeah, I'm guessing that that won't be the only trade that A.J. Preller makes between now and August 1st or whatever.
A couple other Padres notes from the weekend. Brian Hoeing began a rehab stint in the minors. I think he got hit around in a rookie-level game, but it's good to see him at least back on the comeback trail. And he's got a track record. I'm not going to worry too much. This is just getting about his feels back, and hopefully Brian Hoeing can return to the Padres' bullpen. And, you know, he'll be the kind of longer, early relief option once he comes back, hopefully, and you won't need to see as much, Wandy Peralta in that role anymore, who has been struggling lately. We'll talk about him. And Yu Darvish continues on his rehab trail. We talked to Eric Grubner on Friday, who said went really well with his throwing session last Thursday, and they were thinking of maybe even skipping a rehab start. Well, it looks like he's going to make at least one rehab start on Wednesday for El Paso. That's at least the word coming out of Coors Field yesterday. Going to throw a bullpen today at Petco Park. Mm-hmm. That goes well. Rehab start on Wednesday at AAA. Wouldn't be shocked if his next start after that came perhaps to start the Padres road trip after they finish this homestand. So maybe even like a you know, in 8 or 10 days, you could see, in about 10 days, you could see Yu Darvish back in the Padres starting rotation, which would be really exciting to get him back.
Kevin AC wrote last night, Darvish, bullpen at Petco today. And then it says tentative plan to make a rehab start Wednesday with El Paso, but it'll be in Las Vegas. The Padres will evaluate after that whether Darvish, who was sidelined in spring training with elbow inflammation, will pitch in another minor league game or make his season debut. Now, what kind of off days do we have coming up here?
There's a Thursday off day this week.
Just the one?
I think so.
I was trying to see if maybe the Padres would get a little creative and try to extend that trip through the rotation one time through, but Stephen Kolek pitched pretty damn well on Saturday. So I don't know, like we talked about it a couple of weeks ago with Kyle Hart, and he had the off days, and they're like, you know, let's just skip this. We'll get a chance to get Michael King back out there even quicker, but he's still on full
rest. Not skipping Stephen Kolek. He's the ace of the staff right now.
Yes.
Kidding me? I can't wait for Stephen Kolek's next start. And we will talk about Stephen Kolek and his performance on Saturday night in the unbelievable 21-0 victory for the San Diego Padres. We'll get into some of that coming up.
Not
at the
very
of the
often
hour.
That the offense gets outshined, outperformed when they put up 24 hits, I believe, and 21 runs.
I think ultimately, you know, the Padres will have to make a decision on their starting rotation. But if Yu Darvish comes back and looks anything like Yu Darvish, Michael King, Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, Nick Pivetta, and perhaps Stephen Kolek, you know, is now your number five starter.
Randy Vasquez got to be feeling a little bit of pressure there.
I mean, he pitched really well on Friday. I don't want to take anything away from Randy Vasquez, but he's probably better as your flex sixth starter going forward. I'm very encouraged from what I've seen from Stephen Kolek, and you know, the Padres definitely. Things look bright for the starting rotation going forward with you coming back. I mean, you're always one or two, you know, quick injuries away from being in hot water once again when it comes to the starting rotation. But, you know, I'm throwing this Nick Pivetta start yesterday out the window. He's shown me more than enough to feel like you can count on Nick Pivetta for having a really good season. Michael King remains one of the best pitchers in baseball. Dylan Cease seems to be coming around in his last couple of starts, looking much more Dylan Cease-like, especially that start at Yankee Stadium. And, you know, we'll see what Yu Darvish has going forward. But when he's been healthy the last couple of years, Yu Darvish has been good. It's just a matter of getting him on the field enough to be effective. But, I mean, the Padres should feel extremely good about the starting rotation in the next couple of weeks with what they have, and then, you know, mix and match and play around with your fifth starter. But as of now, for me, it's Stephen Kolek going forward until he shows any reason why. Hasn't given up a run in two starts. I mean, you know, let's wait until he gives up a run and then decide if we want to start playing around with the fifth spot. But I think Stephen Kolek's done everything that he needs to. And what an unbelievable performance on Saturday. We'll get to that coming up. We got Don't Do This coming up next as well. I know sometimes I think Padres fans can get a little out of their heads criticizing the team. You got nothing on the Astros fans who took it to the don't do this level over the weekend when it came to a bad pitching performance by one of their starters. Plus some do this. It's always nice to be polite, even if you don't get recognition for it. And we saw a great example of that over the weekend. We'll get to all of that coming up next with Ben and Paul on a Monday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Well done, Paul Reindl. Thank you for stepping in for Stephen Woods there.
Happy to help.
I will start with, this should be a story to celebrate if you're a Houston Astros fan, but at least someone in their fan base turned it into a major don't do this over the weekend. Houston Astros right-hander Lance McCullers Jr., who has not pitched essentially at all since the 2022 World Series due to a series of right arm issues, missing 2023 and 2024 as he recovered. Finally back, making just his second start this season for the Astros on Saturday, and it didn't go well. Entirely shocked that a guy's going to struggle a little bit after not pitching for 2.5 years, essentially. But that was too much for at least some Astros fans who made threats against his family on social media. Quote from McCullers, "I understand people are very passionate. People love the Astros and love sports. But threatening to find my kids and murder them is a little bit tough to deal with. So just as a father, I think there have been many, many threats over the years aimed at me mostly, and I think actually one or two people from other issues around baseball actually had to go to jail for things like that. But I think bringing kids into the equation, threatening to fine them, or the next time they see us in public, they're going to stab my kids to death. Things like that, it's tough to hear as
good Lord.
A dad." Joe Espada came to his defense as well. I think we can all, agree on the fact that that is way beyond the pale. I mean, no death threats at all should be made to players, their families, or anyone just because they performed well.
But especially his young daughters?
Yeah. I mean, if you're a fan, hey, you're a bum, release this guy, get rid of him, fine. You know, if you have to get that off your chest because he had one bad outing after 2.5 years of rehab to get back to the big league level, I think you're still kind of a classless idiot, but it doesn't rise to the level of don't do this. This clearly rises to the level of don't do this for Houston Astros fans. Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
Be better.
Let's wash it off with a couple of doo-doo thises today.
Do a couple?
Yeah, let's do two.
DD mega doo-doo.
All right, I can get us started here. You teased it. Doing something nice, not expecting any recognition. And this coming from one of the most popular football players on the planet. We're talking about former Colorado standout and newest member of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Travis Hunter. There was a story going around on social media over the weekend, and it's a picture of Travis Hunter, and he's on a plane sitting next to a woman, and The woman wrote, I had the most wonderful flight home from Denver. I met the nicest young man who sat next to me. He offered to put my bag in the overhead compartment and helped me with my tray. He was always polite, saying yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. Anyone would be proud to have him as a son or grandson. So polite. People walking by were saying, congratulations, great job, even taking pictures. I turned and asked him, who am I sitting next to? I looked at his Jaguar pants, smiled, and asked, are you an athlete? He smiled and said, yes, I'm Travis. I was drafted by the Jags. I already told my sons I want his jersey. He's so humble and down to earth. I would have never guessed he was a professional athlete. Jacksonville Jags, you did good. I will be buying tickets. United Airlines, thank you for my seat assignment.
That is, that's very cool.
That is awesome.
You know what? And I, you know, I will give his parents, his upbringing a lot of credit for that. You don't act like that and be respectful of your elders without some good examples when you were growing up.
That's got to be the absolute best, most fulfilling compliment a parent can ever
receive. I would think so. Yeah, the athletic accomplishments.
Such a great human being.
But that is really what truly makes you feel good as a parent, that someone, you know, just feels like your son is a good person. And he certainly gave that example. But you know who I'm also going to give a little credit to? Guy who's taken a lot of shots in recent weeks. Deion Sanders, who I believe also sets a really good example for his players and his team. And he expects good behavior. He expects, respect and, polite attitudes. And I think he instills that as well as coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, which, again, makes it so shocking that his son, fell to the fifth round. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a problem off the field for the Cleveland Browns.
So
I really
either.
Don't. I have no idea, talent wise, whether he's going to be a successful NFL quarterback, but I don't think any team should have been scared away by Deion or Shedeur from drafting him. Now, if their evaluation was like, we just don't think he's going to be that good on the next level, I can't criticize a scout for that. That's their job to evaluate. But I don't see any problems off the field coming from Shedeur. And I think Travis Hunter kind of shows an example of good people coming out of that Colorado program.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
All right, finally, another doo-doo this.
Mega doo-doo.
Fun Mother's Day story yesterday from Detroit, Comerica Park, where the Tigers hosted the Texas Rangers. And it just happened to be a very special Mother's Day for Mary Young, because both of her sons, Josh Young and Jace Young, played in the same game against each other. Jace was in the Tigers lineup. Josh was in the Rangers lineup. She got to deliver the game ball to the mound, join her sons on the field before the game. She's just exploding. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better Mother's Day gift. We're all in the same place to begin with, than to watch them live their dream, do what they love to do. I couldn't be more proud. And then during the game, Josh went and hit a home run for his mom on Mother's Day. The only thing she couldn't get is both teams couldn't win, obviously. One team had to win, one son had to lose, and the Texas Rangers did go on to the win yesterday, 6-1 over the Detroit Tigers. But Tigers are having a pretty good season as well, and I thought that was a very cool Mother's Day story from baseball.
Yeah, you see it every year on Mother's Day. You'll see, so-and-so is going to catch the ceremonial first pitch, and his mom's going to be the one to throw it. It's easy, and it's fun, and it's a good feel-good moment. But not too many of those moms get to see both of their sons in the big leagues playing each other on the same day.
Playing the same position.
That is
as well.
Awesome. They were playing tic-tac-toe on the infield dirt in the game. I did see that, which is always funny to me.
And that is don't and do and do this for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we talked about the loss. Let's go back and talk about the two wins for the San Diego Padres, including historic 21-0 shutout of the Colorado Rockies on Saturday. Get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
First, hope everybody had a good weekend out there, and I bet it was a good weekend if you found your way to 7 Mile Casino. Just a lot of fun, especially with the team on the road looking for something to do. 7 Mile Casino is a great spot. If you're a card player, you're not going to find a better card room in San Diego. I dare you to find a better one in Las Vegas. I had mentioned that Seven Mile Casino is smoke-free. And someone in my mentions last week said, well, you know, like some of the Vegas card rooms are smoke-free as well. Yeah, but you still have to walk all the way through giant casinos, usually, you know, smelling smoke the entire way before you get to the quote-unquote smoke-free card room. All of Seven Mile Casino is smoke-free. It's upscale. It's just a great place to hang out, be at, right there on San Diego Bay, off the 5 freeway in Chula Vista. If you are a real card player as well, it's great for high-limit games. Playing high-limit Texas Hold'em, they've got a game spread for you, really good group of players that you can go and play some high-limit action. Of course, Woods loves the California-style blackjack. There's also Baccarat and Pai Gow Poker as well. Sammy's at 7 Mile brings you food 24-7 any time of the day, serving up great food out of their kitchen with TVs all over and a full bar and the great patio that, again, has views out to Coronado over the water. You can watch the sunset with friends. There's so many things to do. Please check it out today. Head down to 7 Mile Casino. It's just 7 minutes from downtown.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Here's one thing I don't know that we will ever see again in baseball. A game in which the team scoring 21 runs is not the most notable thing about that game. Welcome back, Ben and Paulie, this morning on 97.3 The Fan. Hope Woods feels better and will return with us tomorrow morning. He is, in fact, sick. We're not faking you out like we did a couple of weeks ago when he was actually surprising his family and we told you he was sick. Actually sick today.
He told us to lie. We didn't feel good about it, but we had to do it.
We did.
Because Gary, he listens every morning. Gary, if you're listening right now, you don't need to be like checking outside your office or
coming.
The driveway. Woods is not showing up today.
Really sick.
He is actually sick. Cluster headaches.
Yeah.
Which just does not sound fun at all.
No, it does not.
A migraine, there's really few things worse than that. And to have the, like, it sounds like it's like a wave of headaches that just kind of hits you and anywhere from like 5 to 15 minutes at a time, and then it goes away, and then it comes right on back. And it's, I mean, look, for him to wake up and go, I cannot go in and go to work this morning, he would hate himself right now. Like, he hates that.
Oh, no.
Nobody in radio, morning radio, wants to wake up and find out that one of their crew can't make it in. S happens, people get sick, your car breaks down, whatever. Like, it happens, life happens, and you move on. But Woods in particular prides himself on not doing that. And so for him to send that text this morning at like 3:45, I knew he was really not doing well.
East County Chris says, that's what happens when you fake playing sick. You do tempt fate a little bit, like when you
pretend
to be sick.
Yeah.
But he wasn't lying to anyone at work. I mean, Adam knew where he was going. It wasn't a surprise.
Just all of you guys.
Listeners that we were lying to. He actually never lied to anybody. We were the ones who were lying
to people on his
behalf.
We're the ones that looked bad.
He was very honest with us and with work where he was going. He just couldn't tell anybody because he didn't want the cat out of the bag. But I don't know. I don't think the Rockies felt too good on Saturday night, kind of the cluster headache version of a baseball game, getting bodied 21-0 by the Padres. And I know Woods was always worried about this Rockies series with good reason. They did end up losing a game. They nearly blew the game on Friday. It wasn't like there was no craziness of Coors Field. There was plenty of craziness. But for the first time maybe ever in Woods' life, at some point in that game, I think maybe 15-0, he realized, I don't actually have anything to worry about in this game tonight. For one day only at Coors Field, the Padres are hitting so well and getting such good pitching that there's even no chance of a comeback at Coors Field in this game. And that turned out to be the case. Padres erupted for 5 runs in the first inning. Gavin Sheets hitting his 5th home run of the season, 2-run shot. And then after single runs in the second and third, an 8-run fourth inning, including a bit of a cheapy Jason Hayward 3-run home run, but the first 3-run home run of the season by the San Diego Padres after 38 games, they didn't have a single one. And then, of course, they get 2 consecutive innings of 3-run home runs as Fernando Tatis Jr. Hit one in the 4-run fifth inning. At that point, it was an absolute laugher. Padres had 5 different players with 3 runs batted in. Fernando Tatis Jr., Luis Arraez, Jake Cronenworth, Gavin Sheets, Jason Hayward. They hit 5 home runs, season high. And that doesn't even include Jackson Merrill, who went 4 for 6 with 2 runs batted in just an unbelievable top-to-bottom offensive performance.
And Brandon Lockridge, the only guy to not get a hit, 1 pinch-hit appearance, and he went 0-for-1. Everybody else that appeared in the lineup for the Padres had a hit.
And I know what you're thinking, and you're not wrong. It's Coors Field. It's the Rockies. Let's not make too big of a deal about a one-off performance with 21 runs. They're not going to duplicate that. You're not going to see the Padres scoring 20 every other day. I get that, but it's always nice to have the formula laid out. And that is, in a nutshell, I think what the Padres are hoping their lineup at its top capabilities is able to really do. Is it, you know, are they going to score 21 runs against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium? Of course not. Going to be facing much tougher pitching in tougher dimensions at sea level. But when you have the combination of guys who are actually hitting the ball out of the park, as, you know, Tatis can do, as Sheets can do, as some guys can do, and you get a few home runs, but you continue to do what you're doing in the lineup, and you're getting it all the way from 1 to 9 in a game like that, it really does show you that the Padres can be a very dangerous weapon offensively when everything is rolling. And the dream, of course, would be that you get to October and you have a bunch of these guys who are all locked in at the same time, because that would make the Padres one of the most formidable teams to face in Major League Baseball. Whether it's the Rockies or any other opponent, you have guys who are putting together at-bats like they did, and they put together good at-bats that whole game. They never stopped putting together good at-bats.
Never got lazy.
I was almost annoyed at some point going, all right, I get it. You're working the count. You fouled off 3 pitches at 3-2. It's the 7th inning, and you're up 18-0. Go ahead. Just swing early, and let's get this game moving. But they would not do it.
Get out of there. Go grab a drink. Yeah. Go grab dinner. Get some rest.
I thought it was a test of mental focus and toughness that the Padres, even with a giant lead, could continue to put quality at-bats together the entire game. Similarly, I thought Stephen Kolek, there's so much you can say about this performance, and I want to get to it. Let's check traffic, and I want to talk more about why it was beyond a remarkable start for Stephen Kolek. We'll do that next here on 97.3 The Fan.
I think Dominic, Tier 1 Dominic, nailed it in our chat. He said, it's also nice that a 21-run game in Coors Field wasn't 21-20.
No, it wasn't, thanks to Stephen Kolek, who I mean, people don't throw complete games at Coors Field, and they certainly don't throw complete game shutouts. How rare is it?
People don't throw complete games in baseball as often anymore.
The only pitcher in Padres history who has ever done it until Stephen Kolek, Andy Ashby, had the only complete game shutout at Coors Field.
Did Kevin Brown have one? Or maybe just a complete game?
I think it was just a complete game. I believe they said in the broadcast that the only complete game shutout by a Padres pitcher at Coors Field belonged to Andy Ashby. It was nearly a Maddux, which is a complete game shutout that is done in under 100 pitches. He had a chance, gave up a single in the ninth, and ended up going to, like 102 pitches or 104 before it was over. But
104
pitches. Still,
pretty damn efficient.
What makes it so remarkable is that to throw a shutout, you have to really stay locked in for the entire nine innings, especially at Coors Field.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to stay locked in when you're up by 15, 18, 20, 21 runs.
Dude, I would love to go back and look. Like, how long were those innings? Like, the fourth inning, we scored 8 runs. Like, that messes with your rhythm.
You're sitting down forever, and then you have to get back up.
An 8-run inning followed by a 4-run inning. Like, it's hard to stay locked in when you have a 20-minute break or whatever it was.
Yeah, you would think, oh, this is the easiest start anyone's ever had with that much run support. But it actually is tough to stay locked in. When the other team is throwing a catcher on the mound for 2 innings at the end of the game, and you still have to go back out and actually pitch after that. The game has turned into a circus and a sideshow.
Right.
But you can't let yourself turn into a circus and a sideshow. That's what, for me, made it such an impressive start by Stephen Kolek. Now, is he going to go on and win the Cy Young Award? You know, is he going to be a top starter in Major League Baseball? I'm not envisioning that for Stephen Kolek, but he certainly looks like he could be very much a member of the Padres' starting rotation, you know, as the number 5 guy going forward this season. And if he continues to pitch well, probably could earn himself like a spot in the starting rotation going forward. They're going to have to replace starters next year. That's an inevitability. I mean, we want them to sign Michael King, but, you know, Dylan Cease and Michael King are not both coming back next year on free agent deals for the San Diego Padres. At best, you have to replace at least one of those guys. Stephen Kolek could be one of the guys. You know, you're getting Joe Musgrove back, hopefully, but Stephen Kolek looks like someone who could be a long-term member of the Padres rotation. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself after just 2 starts, but
a little bit.
I've loved what I've seen. You know, 5-pitch mix. He's definitely not the same pitcher that was taken in the Rule 5 draft last year and was hidden at the back end of the bullpen all year long. He's developed. He's worked with Ruben Niebla. He's taken steps forward. And you love to see it because the one thing that the Padres must have going forward to be a consistently successful franchise, they're never going to be able to spend as much as the Dodgers, even with, you know, good investments in the team. They need to develop their own starting pitching. They can't afford to just go out and pay for Dylan Cease and Michael King and Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove and have, you know, a $150 million rotation every year. They must develop their own starting pitchers. And right now,
you got to develop your own frontline starting pitchers.
Yes. And, you know, well,
Randy Vasquez, you need those guys as well.
It's the one area that I think the Padres and the minors are lacking. You know, they have the position players and DeVries and Salas that are at the top and in the rankings. Where are the pitchers in the minor leagues that
Mackenzie
are coming up?
Mackenzie Gore may have been that guy, and he got a taste here in San Diego, and he's gone on. He's going to have a fine career with the Nationals or wherever he ends up signing when his contract is up. But, you know, we've seen the Ryan Weathers come and go, the Chris Paddocks come and go. It's been a while since we've developed a legitimate, you know, one or a two.
And I'm not saying Stephen Kolek is that. He's not. He's almost certainly not going to be a one or a two, I don't think, in Major League Baseball. I'm saying that it shows you that the Padres have the ability to develop internally. And hopefully that will then lead to maybe one of the, you know, Boston Bateman or one of the recent signings, one of the recent draft picks mm-hmm. will turn into that homegrown, developed frontline starter in the next couple of years. Because the only way for the Padres to expand this window of competitiveness, you know, the potential championship window for the San Diego Padres, it's open now. But if they run out of pitching and they can't afford to bring back everybody like Dylan Cease and Michael King, which they can't.
They won't. Yeah.
They're going to have to find it somewhere, and it's going to have to come from within their own organization. And the sign that they can do that, those signs have been missing, really. I mean, you mentioned Mackenzie Gore, you know, and now he's finally, you know, probably turning into what the Padres envisioned with the Washington Nationals. He's getting up there to be a top guy in their rotation, but it hasn't really happened much for AJ Preller over the last 10 years. Is this a good sign that the Padres are advancing in their pitching development? I think it is. I think it's a good sign. It's not a finished product. It's by no means a guarantee.
I mean, yes.
But I like what I'm seeing here.
It looks like they may have found something with Steven Kolek, but I think you said it earlier in that when you look at the top Padres prospects, where are the pitchers?
I don't know.
So
I mean, Omar Cruz.
That's a little concerning that they're not even there.
I know. It's really the guys who were drafted last year with the first couple of picks, but you know, you're going to need to wait a couple of years on those guys.
Yeah, those are the guys you're hoping to help you out in like 28, 29. Yeah,
next year's dicey. You're hoping Joe Musgrove comes back and looks like Joe. You're hoping Yu Darvish can have, you know, as he gets older, you know, stretch one more good year, hopefully out of Yu Darvish.
Yeah, I don't know that you're getting much beyond that.
At that point, and you got Nick Pivetta, you know, hopefully coming back. You know, that's a solid start.
What's can Pivetta's you sign Michael deal King? Again?
4 years.
But is there an opt-out?
Maybe after two years.
He got very creative.
I think after 2 years. But the first two, he's definitely here. He's only getting like $1 million this year. He's getting like 19 next year. But he has to stay for that, I think, for that to get that 19 next year. He can opt out. But he's here, part of the rotation next year.
So that'll help.
You know, Darvish and Musgrove. And we'll see if they can come up with a way to keep Michael King, which would be great. But you're still going to need a Randy Vasquez, a Steven Kolek. You're going to need to continue developing your own starting pitching. And we haven't seen any signs of that from the San Diego Padres. Till now, we're starting to see a little bit of that. And I think Steven Kolek is just kind of the front edge of that wave that will turn into more pitching development from the Padres from the minor leagues.
See, Ray says, trade Cease and get pieces to grab a starter with control.
I heard someone else, I was at Vaughn's yesterday, and Eric, who was checking me out, said, hey, do you think they could trade Cease for like a pitcher and a left fielder? Here's the thing.
If you're trading Cease, the team that you're acquiring him,
they're not wanting to give up anything.
They want pitching.
Yeah, they're going for it.
They're contenders. So if you're getting a rental in Dylan Cease, you're a contender. You're not giving up any pitching.
Exactly. And, I mean, future pitching, maybe, but the Padres want to win now, too.
Right, and I was just going to say, I don't know that even A.J. Preller could sell, hey, I know everything's going well, we're in the playoff hunts, we're in position, things are going well, we're going to trade our number one or our number two. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, I think the time to trade Dylan Cease has come and gone.
I think the Padres are going to be looking to add at the trade deadline, certainly not subtract a Dylan Cease. If you want to have success in the playoffs, you're going to need Dylan Cease throwing well. And I know his playoff track record hasn't been great, but you're not going to find a better pitcher than Dylan Cease without giving up a ton right now. So, no, I don't see that happening going forward. All right, we'll come back. 2 hours to go. We'll talk about Friday's game, the rest of Major League Baseball, and SDFC's big win as well. All coming up. Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club. up. Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.